God, you know, what is, because Anna was, I was asking Anna what the testimony is, and I'm thinking, oh, you just pick one little piece and talk about one little piece, and she's like, start at the beginning. So I'm going to try to start at the beginning. So I asked God, you know, for the bits and pieces. There's large chunks left out because I don't have enough time for my entire life story. But anyway. So my greatest testimony is, it's simple, is for as long as I can remember, I've always known God's love for me. There's never been a time I've doubted that. And I didn't know how valuable that was until the older I've gotten, the more experiences I've had with people who don't know that, who don't have that as a foundation, and they have to struggle to find that. So that's my greatest testimony, is that I have always known God's love for me. So, you know, my childhood was decent, pretty good. I thought it was pretty good, right, Mom? Had its own set of challenges. When I was young, my dad was an alcoholic. He was not very connected to me, to my brother. I had a half-brother that lived with us for a time, caused a lot of disconnection, a lot of discord in the family, a lot of division. We moved every few years because we were in the Air Force, which I actually loved, but I know that that can be a stressor of some kind. And yet, through everything, you know, all of the hardships, childhood on, I always knew God's love for me. So we settled here in Florida when I was about 10. We came to Church on the Rock, New Covenant Fellowship, when I was 11. So that was 33 years ago. November of 87 is when I officially asked Jesus into my heart. Mom and I, she asked me to come with her one night to do the Hebrew dance team here at the church, and, you know, a little bit like, I don't know if I want to do this, but that was part of what I think Mom and I helped us to connect here, was the family that we found in the Hebrew dance team. Let's see. Okay, so life started getting interesting when I was about 13. And those of you who knew my mom at the time, I hope you were praying for her, because I gave her a hard time. I was very challenging. there was this unsatisfied part of my heart, you know, that even giving my heart to the Lord, there was still this piece that was missing. And I flirted a lot. I was looking for that affection or whatever with boys. So I'm sorry, Mom. But I was, from the ages of 13 to 16, I can't even count. I just was like one boyfriend after the other. I feel really bad for the guys. I was fickle and just, I don't know, not good. I'm so thankful for my children, I can't even tell you. And yet, even through all of that, I knew that God loved me. Somehow, through all of that, my innocence was still protected. Every morning when I'm leaving for school, Mom's sitting there in her chair with her cup of tea and her Bible open, and she's praying and she's studying the scripture. She later shared with me, my Christ, that she was praying a bubble of protection around me. And I know that's how I made it through that time. Through all those years, as painful as I was, she stayed connected. She was always there. At night, I'd say, Mom, come tuck me in. So she'd come in my bedroom and sit next to the bed for who knows how long. And I made her play with my hair. but that's the time that I would confess my sins. I would share the struggles I was going through. I would seek wisdom, and she always had wisdom to share. And I really believe that's a big part of why I've always known God loves me, because Mom demonstrated that through everything that the pain that I was, she loved me through. She didn't obviously support my sin, you know, she'd call it out, she'd correct me, but she always loved me. All right, so about my 16, I was starting to settle out a little bit. you know, around that time, you know, Mom had become my best friend, and I always wanted to invite all my friends over to talk to Mom, because Mom had all the wisdom to share with all my friends. And I knew at that time that's what I wanted with my kids. It's about that time Tony and Rachel were getting the vision for turning the focus of the youth group into prayer and mentorship. It became less about entertainment and more about connection with the Lord. Sorry, Mom. So he developed the student leader program. And through that, I really, like, that was a huge part of my spiritual foundation, was being here at the youth group. Tony shifting to, like, all of our meetings became prayer meetings, and we'd go on prayer retreats, and, you know, there was pre-service prayer for youth group and for church, and so it was a huge focus on prayer. So that's really where my spiritual foundation was developing. April of 93 is when it was my junior prom, and my best friend was, you know, had her date, and like, Becky, you have to have a date because I have a date. Let's go to the prom. And I was like, Mom, who do I invite? Who do I take to the prom? I don't, you know, how do I get to go to the prom? Because this other guy wasn't asking me. She's like, ask a nice guy from church. So the nice guy from church was Brett. So I asked him to my junior prom, and then he asked my dad if he could date me after that. So then we dated, started dating. So still at that time, like, I knew God, and there was a foundation developing, but there wasn't the intimacy and the connection. And so it was June of that year that we went on a 2-month mission trip with Teen Mania. I went to Venezuela. Brett went to Russia for a month. And it was during that time that you're out of the country, you're removed from everything that you know is normal. We were spending time every day in the Word, spending time every day praying, spending time every day evangelizing and telling people about Jesus. And so that's really where my connection with the Lord became mine. It was my relationship. It was no longer, you know, I didn't have to depend on my mom or my church to carry that for me. It was now my relationship with the Lord. I also had started to date this really good Christian guy, as opposed to the guys before who were not. And so I think that also was a good challenge to bring my relationship with the Lord higher. You know, just knowing that there's... it's hard to explain. Anyway, it helped. This good Christian guy. So we were, while I was on missions and he was on missions, we would write in journals to each other. So we got back and exchanged those. And I think that was the beginning of journaling for me when I went on that mission trip. And that'll come in later. Anyway, so over the next 2 years, from getting this relationship started, that was my relationship with the Lord, there was a lot of growth happening at that time. So I was it was my senior year of high school and then my first year at the community college. And I just was fearless, you know. I had this shirt and it said, I'm not doing it. And then on the back was all these reasons why. So this is, I'm wearing to high school saying, I'm a virgin and I'm going to stay this way. And, you know, I just was not afraid to share gospel and not afraid to share good solid principles. And I remember guys were asking me questions, and I kept going back to Jesus and the Bible, and Jesus, and they're like, don't you have anything else? I'm like, no, that's what I got. You know, that's what I had at that time. That's about when my dad started to realize, I think, my brother and I were getting older and starting into college, and he was like, wait a minute, I missed out on all of this. And so he really tuned in, and our relationship began to develop, and Dad and I are great friends now. We love to wander around Sam's together. You know that's where you're going to find him.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Around June of 95, Brett and I broke up, so we had dated for 2 years, and then the poor guy broke up with him. But it was also another period of time because of having this from 13 to 16, just dating, and then, you know, I was with Brett for 2 years, and my relationship with the Lord grew, but breaking up with him and then being single and having to find that contentment in the Lord, it grew even more. Let's see. Okay. So, 3 years later, June of 98, I'm about to head into my senior year of college, because I took an extra year in there. Brett and I get back together. We're engaged in October of that year, and then I graduated in May of 99, and we got married in September. So our marriage was hard in the beginning. The first 2 years, we didn't like each other. There just wasn't, there was a lot missing from the first 2 years. So that was a new challenge of really learning to seek and depend, seek the Lord and depend on Him. Our premarital counseling, Rachel and Tony, were like, so the problem here is you're stubborn and you're inflexible. So do you see how this is? So that really did play out. they definitely recognized that. But then Lucas was born July of 2001. I always feel like I take the verse out of context, but when it says a woman is saved through childbearing or whatever, I don't know, I just felt that. Like, for me, it was such a huge shift, and I was so in love with being pregnant, so in love with giving birth, just feeling like I was a part of God's miracle. Like, that's as close as you get to a miracle, is this brand new life that you create and give birth to. So anyway, from that time forward, I always wanted to get in on any birth that I could. Any friend that was pregnant, it was like, oh, you want me to come to birth, right? I was completely in love with birth. So then a few years later, now I've got, you know, three toddlers, or three little ones. Marriage was better. You know, we went on an upswing, but it was still difficult. That's when I really started to journal, was when I was like, I need more. I felt this complete lack of joy, where I think I had known joy most of my life, but in that moment I did not. And so if you go back and look at my journal at the time, it's pretty much daily, God, I need joy. How do I find joy? Give me joy. Just a constant question of how do I find this? Which I highly recommend journaling. If you haven't journaled before, when you're praying, just writing out the bullet points of your prayers and then referencing it later, and you'll come back to find how much God has answered those prayers. My heart at the time was that I wanted my kids to see that joy, and I was missing it. I didn't know how to get it, and it was such a deep desire and a cry of my heart. I'm not sure where that shifted, but I know that it did, because going back and reading the journals to then realizing God answered that, and I'm walking in joy, and I'm sharing it with my children. It felt like I was getting the hang of the whole parenting thing, really trying to be purposeful in training, in disciplining, in building relationship with them. You know, it was so important to me, my relationship with my mom, getting me through those years, that I wanted that. When they're little, it's easy to believe that you're not capable, you know, to, like, how can I just entertain them? How can I just keep them busy and not have that purposeful mindset? So really keeping focused on being purposeful to not just shift them off, but to be connected with them. Really hard when they're little. But pushing through with that, you know, now that I have three teenagers, and then, you know, the boys are not far behind, I'm just seeing the rewards of that. Just the connection that I have with them, that they value me, they value relationship, they want to come, you know, be with me. I could end there. That's a testimony that I value deeply. And I wanted them to have that same experience of knowing God's love because of how they were loved, in the same way that it was modeled for me. Okay, fast forward again. 2014, there was an extremely painful experience, probably one of the most painful in my life, that is another story for another time. But it's where I really discovered my passion for birth was not just a passing fancy, that it was super, like, very deep-rooted. And I call Brandy, and I'm crying, and I'm like, why do I love birth so much? Why can't I just stop caring? And she's like, God has given you this passion, and He's going to use it. And so that's when I became a doula. And so this is where every time I'm on my way to a birth, which I still, every single one is a miracle. Every single one is just as filled with joy. But I'm praying, God, what do you have? How can I serve this family? Help me to serve them in what they need right now. And I do feel God moving in that. I connected with a local midwife who is, she's also a believer. And so that's just a wonderful partnership to share together that she kind of also depends on that, I think. It depends on that part of me that God has really put in me, that passion for birth and connecting with the women that are laboring. So slight rabbit trail relating to all of this is spiritual gifts. It's another passion that I feel like that God's put in me. Is growing up, I took all the tests. I tried to figure out what box do I fit in. You know, am I a teacher? Am I, do I have, whatever, all the different gifts. Never could find a box. So I walked away going, I must not really have anything I'm good at. I don't have any gifts. You know, that's what I convinced myself. And it wasn't until years later that I began to recognize those things that I take for granted. I'm good at this, and I love this, and I'm passionate about this. And I would just take it for granted. Oh, that's just because that's just my personality. And then putting together, no, that is the spiritual gift. That is what God has put in me to bless people with. And I really desire to share that also with the young people of finding that, what it comes naturally to you. What do you just kind of brush off like, oh no, that's just because of my personality. And latch onto that and say, no, that is what God has put in you. Let's take that and see how he wants to use that and set them up for success in that, and as opposed to the failure of, I'm not good at anything, you know, but to really set them up for success, to find those gifts that they are, that God's put in there, and it's so natural to them that they don't see it. Oh, for instance, my dad and his gift of gab. He can just talk to anybody, and he would take that for granted, but he has brought numerous people to the church and to know Jesus because he cares. Like, just talking with them, he cares, you know? Okay, slight step back to 2012. We left Church on the Rock in 2012. It was painful for family and close friends, as Brandy shared a few Sundays ago. Sorry, Brandy. But it was something that God asked us to do. We visited several churches at the time. It actually became a time that our family tightened, I think. There were two churches in particular that we stayed at for several years. One of them was Reformed, and Brett really grew in his ability to defend his faith and, you know, fight for his theology, like really define what his theology was. We went through a very difficult time in there, very painful for the entire family, which is another story. But in the middle of that, we connected with the Johnstons and Jennifer's grace and her encouragement and her challenge was priceless to me. And I brought her to Church on the Rock again.
And I brought you back.
You're welcome. I know. She did. So anyway, after like 7 years, we found ourselves back in the place of looking for churches. And we were hopping around, just visiting, and it was really great. We got to see how different churches valued different members of their congregation, the elderly, the youth, the children, and how they, what their strategies were and their techniques. And so that was kind of a neat time for us. But, you know, we'd come back to visit Church on the Rock because we had family here, you know. My mother-in-law always inviting us, you know, come back, there's a picnic, there's this. And so we would come, and there was just this little hang-up that I couldn't quite commit to coming back until my daughter, who was 13 at the time, was like, no, Mom, I don't want to go to just any church. I want to go to there because every time I'm there, I feel the presence of God. I just know the presence of God. So any little hang-up, just throw that out. How can you, you know, tell your 13-year-old, no, I'm not going to take you there? So that was in July of 2019 is when we decided to come back and really settle. Because there was so much good and so much connection and so much, especially visiting all these churches, it was just home, you know, and I'm really glad that God worked through Sadie to bring us back. And Jen. I was talking to Brandy earlier about this, how now looking back, we can see how all the puzzle pieces fit together and how it all worked perfectly and how it was supposed to work this way. You know, because at the time, it hurt people and it was painful. And but now it flows as part of what God was doing with our family, with even the church, you know, with Brandy. So other families as well, like the Gandas, the Marches, you know, we've talked about how they were going through this desert season, and then God called everybody back, like at the same time. You know, it went from like no kids and no youth to an entire youth group. And we're all really excited about what God's going to be doing with that. That's kind of all. So to summarize, God's faithful. As Jennifer shared in her testimony, watching for those markers of faith, those moments that you can go back and look at and say, look at the hand of God. Look at how those prayers were answered. Look at how he brought the direction in my life. Look at the restored relationships and all of those being reminders of God's love for you. And that's it.